That's Cuban-born Jamaican Emmanuel Rico Rodriguez on trombone with Rico's Message. This is from his 2006 album, Reggae Jazz Attack. Rico, a world-renowned icon of Jamaica's reggae, ska, and jazz, died in London in 2015 after a brief illness. He was 80 years old. But interesting there about the connection between Jamaica and Cuba. Many Jamaicans, of people of Jamaican descent, do still live in Cuba. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And we're going to do two things today. We, of course, will follow up with yesterday's give some space to the folks who did not get in to offer their ideas and opinions about what was going on, what's going on in this country with these sex attacks and coming up late and given automatic validity and the fallout, the far-reaching fallout of Hollywood's sex crime scandals. But first, relating to that, we'll talk about another related subject. Also, I want to mention, before we get into the matter, we'll be starting a very in-depth series, depending on what is available on Thursday. On the 15th, tomorrow, the Clinton Foundation is supposed to submit a whole mess of papers to correct outstanding reports that simply were not filed on time for the foundation, and also to file new reports that it neglected to file and provide details. That's supposed to be tomorrow. So that on Thursday, we'll get a very clear picture as to where things stand with the Clintons. I did tell you some time ago that things are closing in on them, and not just in the United States. Foreign governments also are closing in on the Clintons and looking for some serious accounting on where hundreds of millions of dollars that were donated to the foundation to support the alleged work that they were doing in various philanthropic areas, where did that money go? So it's getting pretty tight for the Clintons right now. And we have news today that the Justice Department will begin another probe into the Clinton Foundation by appointing a second special prosecutor to look just at that. There are some interesting reasons why they are moving in that direction. We'll get to that on Thursday. Thursday is going to be a big day for us. And depending on what happens tomorrow, it would also shape what happens for our discussions, which begin, they're not also going to end on Thursday. They begin on Thursday because, as said from the very beginning, everything, if you really want to understand the Clinton morass that they're now beginning to understand is quite extensive, the key is disassembling that Clinton Foundation and understanding its moving parts. Okay, so in the second half today, just to repeat, we'll talk about those issues that you wanted to talk about yesterday but weren't able to get in because we ran out of time. But I want to talk about how sometimes an unpleasant situation can provoke a valid question. Take, for example, the situation involving former Alabama State Judge Roy Moore, a blighted Republican running in a special election December 12th to fill the U.S. Senate seat left vacant by the now U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions. Moore, a former district attorney, had managed to stave off several political challenges in the past, but he's at center stage now in a billowing sex crimes scandal. Five women so far have accused Moore of sex crimes against them, even when some of them were minors. The Republican establishment wants Moore to quit the race and let Luther Strange, whom Moore had defeated in the Republican primary, let Strange go up against Democrat Doug Jones in the general election. Moore says the sex crime claims against him are a political hit meant to destroy his candidacy, and he has a good shot, he says, and so he won't be deterred. Well, that's what he says. That's not necessarily what's going to happen. But a poll did suggest that since these claims have been made, he picked up 37% of the vote. And he looks like he has a chance. So the question, what is the valid question here? Can or should the party compel Moore to quit? They've already said he ought to. But do they have the right to do it? That's the question I'm asking you. What do you think? The situation is bad. All right, it's a public relations nightmare for any politician. You're going into a race, it's a tight race, but you're still standing, and it looks like you have a good chance. But people are crawling out of the woodwork, announcing some really nasty things that have been done to them by the candidate. We've talked about the fact that simply because people make a charge doesn't make it true. And the charges in fact by the women who have come forward have been well timed, because he is about to go into an election for the Senate seat. So what kind of scenario do we see developing here? Is it, in fact, do you think it is the intention to derail his candidacy? And if so, what do you think about the applicability of the innocent until proven guilty maxim that people talk about all the time? He hasn't been convicted of anything. But these complaints have hounded him for most of his political career. There were rumors, there were all kinds of, hush-hush statements being made. But this is the first time it has come out this way, very publicly. And the establishment, the Republican establishment, is saying, hey, you're an embarrassment to us, you're an embarrassment to the party, and you ought to go. Of course, we appreciate the irony that few of them saying that he has to go, few of them are as clean as the driven snow themselves. So what do you think about that? Here's a guy, he's well on his way in a campaign. He's not especially well-liked. He's got some pretty offensive beliefs. But hey, supposedly this is par for the course in politics. People of all stripes, look at the president we've got. All right? And charges were leveled against him too, you know, about his relationship with women and how he treats women. But he's president of the and president of the party. He's a titular head of the Republican Party. So what have we here? Help us understand what is going on here. Give me a call at 888-874-4888. So we appreciate the scenario. The question is, do they have the right to pressure him? Well, of course, they are pressuring him, so they're operating like they do have the right. But should he be removed, or should his candidacy be thwarted? Yes, we are taking the priority first, those callers who didn't get in from yesterday. All right. So this is an interesting question, don't you think? That here we are in the midst of a very heated contest. He could be senator, but he's got some problems. Should he be forced to forfeit his campaign? All right. Let's see from yesterday who's on with us today. Well, Chris from West Palm Beach, you're on the air.
Yatrice, good afternoon. How you doing?
Okay, thank you. How are you?
I'm all right. I can't complain. In regards to all of these claims, well, first let me answer your question in regards to Roy Moore. Yeah, the party has the right to tell him to get lost. They should. I mean, the Republicans aren't known for being decent people, but, I mean, I guess this fruit is hanging. It's not even hanging. It's on the floor. So it's easy to say, you know, get lost.
The fruit is on the floor. It's
yeah, it's not even low-lying, low-hanging. It's on the floor already.
but is that fair? I mean, we know what we know about this man, but is that fair? Is that
ridiculously
selective?
It is fair. It is fair.
What?
Only in that we have seen, and this ties into yesterday as well, we have seen that many of these men in these positions of power just straight up abuse their power in multitude of ways. When it comes to the issue of sex, clearly men like Trump, Bill Clinton, O'Reilly, Ailes, all these guys are constantly doing this. And I understand what you say yesterday about the media just reporting these things, but I feel the media is actually just trying to keep up with the social media.
But look, you just said it. We have a president who himself was accused of doing very unorthodox things sexually to women, but he's president. And more so, he's the head of the party. So if you can tolerate a Donald Trump, despite all the things that were said about him, but you still allowed him and become president, the charges or the claims against him notwithstanding. Now, why is it an exception now to be made with regard to Mr. Moore?
The difference is that people in regards to Trump look at it as, quote, sexual assault. And with Moore, they're looking at it as pedophilia. But if you just review the court records in the Epstein case, you can see that Trump was involved with pedophilia just like Bill Clinton was. They were great friends with Epstein for many years. Jeff Epstein, you know, the billionaire who lives down here in Florida, who was convicted for pedophilia. So with Trump, people are just looking at it, oh, you know, maybe these women put themselves in certain positions, so I don't feel bad for them. You know, maybe they shouldn't have done that. With Moore, you have these women coming out saying, well, I was a young teenager when he did these things to me. So,
yeah, but going back to 1977. And
correct.
The claim has not been contested. The claim has not been verified as being true.
This is true, but we have also seen people, for instance, let's look at R. Kelly, Bill Cosby, Michael Jackson. People are saying these things about these people for a long time, and they had their defenders too. And, it's very difficult to pin these very powerful people with these crimes if you don't catch them in the act. If you don't
no report was filed. Nothing was said.
Yeah, we see that all the time, though. We see that's more standard.
But that doesn't make it right.
But like you say, the way that our system is set up, it's set up for it to be to malfunction in this way. So the pendulum has been on one side for so long. Now you just see an explosion. And I know go ahead.
In your view, he should be compelled by the party to quit.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Get him out of there. I mean, it makes no difference to me anyway, because it's not like the other guy, Luther Strange, is some upstanding good politician himself or any other of them that they're going to put in there. So on one hand, it really doesn't matter. But on the other, I mean, you know, people have got to stop accepting pedophilia. I'm sorry, but they really have to, because I see Democrats all day cheering for Hillary Clinton. I'm just like, her husband's one of them people, too.
But are you sure that the claim is true?
Oh, okay, no one can be sure besides the two people involved or however many people involved. But you start to look at the thread, you start to see similar things in all of these people. They all have powerful positions, they're all powerful financially, they all seem to act and do whatever they want to do, however they want to do it. So he fits the mold. What did they say, birds of a feather flock together?
You see the quagmire you just put yourself in, right?
I hate to stereotype, but at the same time, sometimes we do have to call a spade a spade.
I like the fact that you're still fighting to get out of this box. I admire that.
I think all of those people I named, they're all, like, for instance, with Bill O'Reilly, you don't pay somebody $32 million if you didn't do anything. Like, you just don't do that.
Well, I would tend to agree with what you're saying. However, that is not the way the law works.
Supposedly, we're all following
the rules of the law. You have a president who himself, despite the fact that many such charges had followed him into the White House, but he's in the White House. And now he's in a position as a titular head of the party to tell somebody who is trying to get a campaign going here, and it looks pretty good for him to get this U.S. Senate seat, you're done. Forget it. Just on the basis of the charge, the same way that Trump was hounded, just on the basis of the claims, you got to go.
Well, here's my thing. Trump is not going to say that clearly because of his own past. But during the campaign, Trump versus Hillary...
Trump has said it. Trump has said he's got to step aside.
Oh, he did say that. Okay, I wasn't aware that he did come out and actually say that. Okay, because I thought he was still saying, if it's true, if it's true.
No, he said he's gone on the record as saying he recommends that this man step aside more. But it's
Well, that's just politics. And like I said, that wasn't even low-lying fruit. That was on the floor molded already. So that was very easy to do.
It was not even low-lying fruit. Thanks, Chris, for your call today. Ed from Queens, you're on the air. What do you think about this
Hello,
situation?
Chris, how you
hysteria?
Doing? Hello?
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, how you doing?
Fine, thanks.
I got to disagree with the prior caller, because the bottom line is this. Like you said, there's laws, and these are accusations. And anything you do, it always has another side, always has a blowback. And there might be a good candidate or someone who's in a position to represent the people, and allegations get thrown against him or her, and then they're asked to step down. I mean, I don't agree with the politics or the ideology of the Republican Party, but they're allegations. Nothing is proven. If it's proven, then we proceed that way. But you can't just indict people on allegations and falsehoods. It shows ignorance, and it shows a lack of credibility. And if you can do it to one person, then you can do it to another person. And that might be the person that we need or that is beneficial to the political situation at the time. You just can't take allegations. It's not done. It shouldn't be done. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. So what do you think that Moore should do?
I think he should stay. I think he should stay. I think he should run. I mean, until something is concretely proven in a court of law or some type of evidence that is run forth that proves he is what he is, or he is a pedophile or whatever, he should run. Because, like I said, it's always a double-edged sword. It can always come back and bite you in the behind if there's somebody that you want or there's somebody that is going to be beneficial to the people, and they come with allegations and throw it against them. They try to do the same thing to Martin Luther King. They try to do the same thing to Malcolm X. They come with these allegations, and so he will believe them, so he will don't. But if nothing is proven, then you can't take it at face value. You just got to take it for what it is. What is provable?
But what would you then say? How would they then explain to the public? We heard these claims. We find them to be repugnant, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This is not what the Republican Party is about. And we are compelled to move in the interest of, in the interest of the reputation of the party and even the reputation of the process. And we decided it was better to move, to be proactive, than to have him go even further on, win this election, and then we have a problem.
Well, I'm saying
with removing an elected official, they're trying to head this one off at the pass. What do you say?
What I'm saying is that if the allegations are provable, if there is evidence and the allegations are proven in a court of law, if it's proven that yes, he did these acts, and we have proof. Yeah, but I mean, if there's no proof, then you're just feeding into the public fever, because it's the flavor of the month. Everybody's a sexual offender. All these people are coming out of woodwork. Everybody, Louis C.K., this one, that one, all coming out of woodwork, and you're giving into public favor. The thing is, people don't understand what politics should be. You're servicing the people, and it's supposed to be above reproach. And if they can prove something against you, then get out of office. Get out. Good, bad, Democrat, Republican, whatever you want to call it. But if they can't prove it, hey, go what you know. Go continue on the process of getting elected and getting into office. Because you can't take false allegations to everybody. Because then anybody can call it anything. And then you'll never have anything to stand on.
All right. Well, thank you. You gave us a very comprehensive response. Let's see what people think of your opinion. Thank you so much, Ed, for calling in today. Ma'at from New York, what is your position here?
Yes, Hotep to the beloved family. That's peace.
Thank you.
Glad you have a womanist voice on here now. I did miss it yesterday. But this situation around sexual assault, and it's minimized when it becomes sexual harassment. You know, that's a term that lets you know how embedded it is in the culture. A long time ago, I discovered just about any part of the workplace, that's going to happen. And so I just chose to become essentially an entrepreneur, a freelancer, an independent contractor because of it. So all these white women coming out, it's a bit easier for them, and somehow the situation of the black and people of color woman situation is submerged because those are the ones that are first targeted. So we know the Bill O'Reilly story at Fox where, you know, he referred to a receptionist as chocolate, hot chocolate, and it just goes on and on. Hopefully.
But I want you to get back to the subject, though. Don't stray. Let's stay on point.
What is the subject?
Should Roy Moore, at this point in his campaign, be forced to quit?
Absolutely. I mean, where do these Republicans find these people? I mean, before the pedophilia, which Mitchell O'Connell, he even said that this guy should move on. And it's supposedly the idea that when you serve in the U.S. Senate that you have some ethical standing is almost ludicrous in terms of what the Republicans stand for. So before we knew and could even surmise about the pedophilia and a pattern of it, he signed the yearbook, love and blah, blah, blah. The idea that he would defy the higher court, it might have even been the Supreme Court twice, because he has to put forward the Christian principles above all others in terms of the Ten Commandments, and when
none of that is against the law. He is allowed as a candidate to put whatever he wishes to put as his.
I'm talking about his prior history. This guy comes with a lot.
His prior history did not include any formal allegations or charges for sexual harassment or sexual assault or rape.
Right, which is understandable because it's very difficult for women to come forward, especially if they were children when it happened. But yes, he did defy the law. There's a history there when he defied a higher court twice because he insisted on placing the Ten Commandments in a public square or space. Additionally,
right, but that was a clean fight.
No,
wanted to place the tablets of listing the Ten Commandments in a public space, in a building, and, you know, there was a big hubbub about that. But
there was more than a hubbub, Utrice. There was more than a hubbub because he actually went against a court order. And he also did it when the Supreme Court legalized same-sex marriage. You know, his division defied that against the court. So this guy...
But I'm still saying, even so, let's say that I would say I accept all of that brouhaha as par for the course in politics. People trying to build a base or trying to satisfy a base, a political base, by taking a stand, even if they suffer for it. So his idea was to hold tight to his constituencies by telling them, you know, I'm standing up for God and country. Okay, I get that. There's nothing essentially dirty about that. There's nothing essentially unforgivable about that. But this situation now that has developed and that is engulfing him, what do you find to be the right way to deal with this? Do you agree with the senior members of the Republican Party that he ought to go right now? He needs to get out of this race because he's a disgrace, and he's not representing the party in this situation, and therefore he has to go. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. And I just want to correct Chris earlier, who seemed to suggest that also that the women somehow brought it on themselves. We have to be very, very careful because it's embedded in the culture. And lastly, I just want to say, in addition to Trump and Epstein, he also, there was someone who was 13 years old. She found herself in some house with him, and he attempted to rape her, or did rape her. She started a lawsuit around the time of, toward the end of the campaign, and I guess she just lost her.
Yes, but we don't know. You see what you just said? We don't know if any of this is true. That's my point.
Well, she started a lawsuit,
and then she... That's true.
And then she pulled out. You know, it's difficult to take on those type of personages like Donald Trump. So I don't know. I believe the women.
It worked for Donald Trump. Donald Trump had a pretty sordid record, and he was allowed to proceed to run for president of the United States. And he won. He is not clean. Is you know, if we charted the reports about Donald Trump and the way he treated women, and apparently still does. So he was allowed to go, and I guess if we get very finite about it, you could find quite a few Republicans who are now demanding Roy Moore's quitting of the race themselves, not exactly beyond reproach. So I'm just fascinated observing this fray and the arguments that they're making, and going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth on these arguments, because there is no way to be definitive about the charges. There's no way to be definitive about them. They haven't been tested. They haven't come to a court of law. And for many of these women, this is the first time they're talking about it. But they're talking about it. They haven't filed a police report. They haven't, this was my point, they haven't authenticated what happened to them. So essentially, if the party were to move against Roy Moore, they will be accepting as absolutely true everything that they're throwing at him now. And that's the crux of the matter. Is that right? Is it legal? Interesting. Thanks a lot for your call today. Jose from Rosedale, you're on the air.
Greetings, my professor. How are you?
I'm okay. How about you, Jose?
The elders here trying to weather the storm. And as always, I wish you great health and ancestral blessings be with you always.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Now, for me, I never thought this old-timer would be... Hello?
Yes, I'm listening.
Yeah. I never thought this old-timer would have mellowed to the point where I would have agreed with you that this, I believe this man should be allowed to run, right? I believe he should be allowed to run. But
it is not up to us. Why do you differ with the party?
Well, I don't think, you know, you see, For me, the Republican Party, like most of these politicians, they speak with forked tongues. The indigenous people of this land has proven that to us. They have told us that the European settlers, they speak with forked tongues. And there's mixed signals. They're saying publicly one thing, but they know if this guy runs, he's going to win. You see? He's going to win. Trust me. You cannot underestimate the behavior of most American white folks, especially those in the South. So if he runs, he's going to win. But I would like to say this. He should be allowed to run, but when he wins and he gets in office, the woman who has accused him of these heinous acts, they should be able to go forward with their lawsuits if they choose to do that. And he should have to use his private funding to defend himself. Not one dime of the public's money should go into his defense against these charges. That I would like to see take place. He should run, be able, and I know he'll win, but these women should be able to go forward with their, he should not be protected through no political laws or clause or anything. He should be open to the prosecution and the charges of these women. And I've looked at this country, the way it operates, and too many of our people believe that it operates on some law of integrity and what is good and fair and just. This is not how this country operates. It is white men with power, with money, who seem to go around and throw that power all over the place and try to control and dominate other people's lives. You see this man going all over the world trying to beat down some of these countries to do the things that he wants them to do. But the world is changing, and there are different powers out there. People want to acquire power and want to control their own destiny. America cannot continue to do the same things we're doing all along. And the guys, people like Roy, what's his name, they come from that background where they're used to using their power to control and beat down everybody. And these poor people have no wherewithal to go up against these titans. They have so much going for them. So we, the little people, we are completely at the mercy of these rascals.
We are the mercy of the rascals.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Jose. You sound very much like King Solomon today with a wise judgment. Thank you so much for your call today.
Thank you.
Ali from New York, what are you thinking about the scenario?
Hi, you three. How you doing?
Okay. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. Okay. The first thing that I'm going to say to you is that I think he should keep running. I don't think he should withdraw out of that race. Because the main thing is that these ladies in this country, I remember when this allegation came out against Trump, and then that video of him saying what he said came out. The white woman went out and voted for him. So what is the difference between these men Moore and Trump? They are not in the same league. They are not white men, like Jose said, with power. So I don't see any difference. And I would say this. I would say
Gregory. Let me ask you though, because I want to tack on to the last point you just made. What about the argument that the party is moving in a proactive way to save the party's reputation, to save people's to salvage people's belief in the party and all that kind of stuff? What about the fact that they're making the argument that this is a proactive way for all of this to be avoided while it is being sorted out, but he has to quit now?
I will have to say, how come they're so strong?
You're making me laugh about him,
but then weren't strong enough against Trump. I'm very confused. How can you tell me that you have this morality against this guy who wants to be in the Senate, but then the person who is in charge of your party, he could get away with everything? It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't speak up for them trying to clean up the party. And besides, I think there is a lot of them with the same problem. And I don't think he's going to be the only one. There's going to be more women come out. I'm talking about a lot of them. And I will have to say about that conversation yesterday, because I do have to bring that conversation from yesterday. This guy, Harvey Weinstein, and the guy who called from Queens, he was talking about allegation. Yeah, the Central Park Five, they went to jail. Not only allegations, but we know proof that they had committed the crime. And there is a lot of black men and Latino men in jail that they haven't committed.
Well, I just want to add a note of explanation. The Central Park Five were five young men of color who were rounded up and told, the public was told, that they were the ones responsible for a very vicious attack on a woman, a white woman, who was running through Central Park when she was attacked within an inch of her life. And there was all this pressure to solve that crime. And the cops, of course, went out and just manufactured some attackers and said, they declared the crime solved. But of course, we know that it was not the case, that they committed this crime.
Okay. So what I'm trying to say about allegation, you see, one of the things that happened on the Harvey case, the woman only have allegations. She also had a tape of him. But if you notice about one thing, even though she doesn't know that she's a person of color, is that every time that they describe the woman, they say an Italian model, Italian and Filipino. Okay? So they were very clear on her description, a description of her. They had the video. They had the tape, because she went to the police department right away. So it was not only allegation. They have evidence. But the woman in this country, especially women like us who have an accent, and if you hear her on that tape, you know that she doesn't sound as a white American or as a white woman. So it's a very different. They took that case very differently. So for me, when that gentleman from Queens said it's just allegations, yeah, they're allegations, but you know what? They don't concern me. They're white women, and the system, the court system, it works completely different for me than it would work for them. And one of
so you're not concerned. You're not concerned about the constitutional question here, the legal question about whether a candidate under the gun of allegations that have not yet been proven or even quantified, whether he should forfeit his run for a U.S. Senate seat. You're not concerned about that?
I'm not concerned about that, because the people that they're going to for him, they're going to vote for him, they don't concern about that. It's the same people, the majority of the people that they voted for Donald Trump. Parents, I mean, you're talking about fathers, uncles, brothers, nephews of each other, they weren't concerned about the woman. They're not concerned. So those are the same people that they're going to run and vote for him. And so is the woman. Remember, the woman during the Trump run they used to have a shirt saying he could come and grab me. So should I be concerned about them? No. They will be taken care of. I know so. And for the black men that or Latino men that rape a white woman, they will be put in jail. I'm not concerned about them. I'm concerned about us, what happened to us and what happened to the Latino, the person of color. Those people, they're going to continue doing what they're doing. And they have been doing it, and they're going to continue doing it. Look what happened. Even Bush Sr., now the woman that's coming out of nowhere to accuse them.
Yes, I didn't mean to laugh, but the way you said it, it is ironic that even George H.W. Bush has been charged, with a claim of groping a young woman. And it's not the only one, by the way. Not the only one at all. Thanks a lot for your call today. Tom from Connecticut, what are your thoughts about the situation?
It has become theater of the absurd, I think, at this time. There is no reason this man shouldn't continue running. And for the Republicans to hold themselves as some kind of arbiters of decency to tell this man to step down is kind of pitiful. If they couldn't stand up to Trump and say, stop running now in the same fashion, then what credibility do they have in calling this man out in, you know, a Senate seat in Alabama? I mean, it's kind of sad.
But isn't it concerning that even under a cloud of suspicion, even if it hasn't been proven, you would feel better as a citizen voting that there's some degree of integrity to the person representing your district? Wouldn't you feel better?
He seems to be a clarion call for people who see this as standing up for his own rights, that they feel the injustice that is being put on him with these allegations is all the more reason to defend him. I think that there's a mindset like that out there that supports that.
That's an excellent point. That's an excellent point. Because the polls are reflecting that. Their polls are reflecting, in fact, increased support for him,
and that the man stood up at some point to keep the Ten Commandments out in front of his courthouse. I mean, further bolsters the ideas of supporters of these ideas. And, you know, it's kind of like, yeah, you go, Roy. They're not going to put you down. You know, stand up for yourself. We'll be with you.
Now, if these allegations were tested, and they were tested and proven to be true, what then? And he was elected,
He should be tried like anyone else.
Oh, okay.
I mean, why not? I mean, if the man is found guilty of crimes, allegations that justify prosecutions, yes, he should stand before the law like anyone else.
Well, Solomon too. We have two Solomons today.
Well,
I try
from time to time.
Well, it was a well-reasoned argument that you made, I think.
Well, thank you.
But the question is, you know, in these political times and the ends are made to justify the means, and people don't care. They just believe that if you are charged with this kind of crime, automatically you're guilty. We don't need to wait for a trial. He doesn't deserve the benefit of doubt, and we can't stand him anyway. So this is a perfect time to get him out. And now they're leaning on him, and I wonder whether any of them is thinking the way you have just put it out, that there is a process here. There should be a process here, and it shouldn't be that on the basis of unproven allegations, everybody decides that, you know, this guy ought to get out of the race. I mean,
well,
as odious as he allegedly is,
offensive
as he is, I'm sorry.
It becomes like the witch hunt of the court of public opinion. Then who can function under that type of situation? This has become so charged, so galvanized over the last 2 years with the ascendancy of Trump, that what then can make sense in the face of these kinds of things?
Well, it's a very fascinating question, except have you seen it discussed in this way in any of the media?
No, because they're both so galvanized. Nobody's going to offer these ideas as any kind of sane resolution, because they're all looking for a way to have a gotcha moment, that this is so outrageous. How can this continue to happen? Oh, no, we have to stand up for his rights. This man has all the rights in the world as a citizen who's not been convicted of anything or found guilty of anything to pursue his political, goals.
Did you expect yourself to come to this conclusion, by the way?
Excuse me?
You started off referencing the fact that it is kind of interesting that you should come to this conclusion knowing your political mindset. And that was what I found remarkable about what your finding was, as same for Jose and Ali, that people would say, well, as a progressive, as a left of center type person, you would not come to this conclusion.
I'm kind of an amalgam of things. I've come to these conclusions over arguing with my wife over the last year or so about certain things that have become very troubling to her. And you know, this being one, you know, like, oh, my God, did you hear about Roy Moore? I said, well, yeah, fine. It's outrageous, but let it play itself out. How can we continue to knee-jerk and, be outraged when the people that are supposedly, it becomes maddening, to say the least. But that's about the best conclusion, as I've tried to articulate over these last minutes, that I've come to. And it's made
it's a great conclusion. It's a great conclusion. And I thank you for offering it for our consideration today. Thanks for calling in. Rose from Queens, you have
a short bit
of time to make your point, I'm sorry to say, but
that's okay.
I have to push.
That's okay. Well, to me, there's a statute of limitations. It passed, and so he should run. And I think, you know, if anyone lacks integrity, to me, it's the women coming out 40 years later for something that happened, a sex crime way back when. To me, they're the ones who lack integrity, and I'm tired of hearing about how they didn't dare, blah, 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 and all that. It's 40 years later, close that book on that part of his life. He's a changed person. He's attracted to younger women. He married someone like 15 years younger than him. It's not the end of the world. And, to me, they're the ones who should be shamed for what they did, trying to destroy him because of something that happened 40 years ago after the statute of limitations passed. It was not murder. It was a sex crime. They willingly went with him, and, you know, and he kissed them. Oh, my God, he kissed a teenager 40 years ago. He was 27. They were 16. It's the end of the world. People get married with that age difference every day, and I think he married someone with that age discrepancy. It's not the end of the world. They should be ashamed, and I want him to win, even though I don't agree with anything about him. To me, he's the one with integrity, and I want him to win just to stick it to the media and to stick it to the Republican, the holier than thou hypocrites, and they're just going along with, I'm going to say it, the feminazis who are taking over the media. They're going along because they're too scared not to. That's my take on it.
But let me ask you, at the time that these things allegedly happened, he was a public official.
Yes,
he was elected as a public official. And that should count for some way of taking this crime or these crimes, these alleged crimes, seriously. Added to that, we do have the fact that, yes, these crimes occurred at a time and in a place, in a location where people are not comfortable coming public.
Well, that was 40 years ago. When was that, the 70s? I mean, the recession revolution had already happened. Don't give me this. It didn't happen in 1959. It happened in the 70s. I remember the 70s. The sexual revolution had already happened. If the women are not going to file a police report, have them arrested on the spot, that's it. C'est la vie. You had your chance. You didn't want to do it for whatever reason, psychological and all that. Okay, so you move on. You should have, you could have, but you didn't. So now that book is closed. That's the way I look at it. This is 1969. It's not the sexual abuse with the priests and all that. It was in the 70s. She was not a colleague working or whatever. He saw her outside at the bar and he says, oh, could I have your phone number? Yes, you can. And they called each other up and come to my house and they kissed. Oh, my God, it's the end of the world. I mean, the whole thing to me, it's a big nothing burger.
Yes, but she was a minor.
Well, she was a minor, but she was not a child. I mean, legally, she was a child.
There are certain things that you can't change.
He
was in public office. There's no question about the fact that he had power and was seen as that.
It was not a workplace. He was not her teacher. That's where there's real foul stuff going on. If he's a teacher or he's a boss, this was not the situation. He had a good job.
He was a DA at the time.
Right, but did he do this as a capacity of DA in a courtroom? He did it at the bar. He went to the bar. He's attracted to 16-year-olds. Okay.
I understand your point, but we cannot trivialize it. And we cannot ignore certain things, dimensions of this scenario here. He was a public official at a time. And he used and abused his power.
Oh, yeah, but that was 40 years ago. People change, Utrecht. People change.
But don't dismiss it and don't trivialize the... We don't know how these women reacted, what they really felt. We don't know. So we should... Ease up a little bit on that because the fact is... It does look, we have no facts yet, it does look like he leveraged his public office and authority. This was part of, what got him over with a lot of women. I mean, this is par for the course. But we're out of time.
Okay.
I thank you so much for calling in and giving a thought-provoking idea to follow through on. Thank you all for calling in and sharing your thoughts.
Bye.
Keep it right here on PRN.FM. You can reach me at leadstories@gmail.com if you didn't get it today. All right, see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.